Welcome to Unlocking the Truth, a podcast by Precept Ministries Canada. Come discover God's truth for yourself by studying His Word and deepen your personal and transformational relationship with God. You are listening to the series on 1 Peter, Hope Resurrected, a living hope in difficult times.
Hello, everyone. It's Mark Sheldrake here. This is Unlocking the Truth podcast, a ministry of Precept Ministries in Canada. Thank you for tuning in with us, whether it be in audio format or video format. If you're on YouTube with us, drop a comment below and let us know what you are learning from this fantastic letter. We're working our way through 1 Peter. This is episode number 2. And what a great opportunity we have to dig back into the Word of God this week. I have been studying, folks. I've been studying like crazy through our new inductive study series on 1st, 2nd Peter and Jude. And I've also been digging into the precept upon precept study, all to get ready for these episodes. And so you too can study along with us. You can look at everything that we're learning in the podcast and discover truth for yourself by using one of these tools. You can find them on our website. And so make sure that you are digging into the Word of God and seeing these truths, because it is so cool. And this week, this episode is absolutely fantastic. Not because of me, because of what's in the Word of God. And I cannot wait to dig in. I'm fired up already. I cannot wait to begin to unpack this with you. Before we do, let me pray. Let me commit our time to the Lord. Father, we do thank you again for this technology, this time that we can come together and we can study in the Word of God. Lord, I pray that as we observe, we interpret, and apply, that you would help us to see these things by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we not get hung up on certain words that are used in these first 5 verses. But Lord, let us be challenged to remember the context of why Peter wrote this, because of great suffering that was going on, this great letter of encouragement to persevere and hang on until the return of your Son, Jesus. This is for us, Lord, this letter too. Is so applicable for us today, and so we too wait for your return. We know that there are people who are suffering out there right now for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I pray that these words would just be a great encouragement again today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Wow. Folks, when I was working through the material for this week, I was realizing we're not even getting past verse 5. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and the majority of our time is going to be spent in verse 2. And so let's get at it. Let's look into it. Remember, context is king. Christians facing very difficult times, being burned alive, dipped in fuel, hung on poles so that their bodies on fire would light the way for Nero's garden path and in the streets. He blamed Christians for burning down parts of Rome, and he created one of the greatest persecutions of Christians throughout the world. And those who were in Jerusalem, they had to scatter out of Jerusalem and move away because of the great persecution. And Peter, he calls himself in verse 1 an apostle. He's an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ, one who brings the message, and we know he brings the gospel to the people. We saw in episode 1 all of the different parts that Peter played during the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. And so let's look at verse 1, and then we'll continue, and we'll finally get to that verse 2 in the text. All right, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. The scriptures have a number of different times where they indicate that the believers were scattered. And so we're going to look at a couple of those. And it's in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and verse 4. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Verse 1 and then in verse 4. All right, so if you're tuning in and changing your Bible or you're writing notes, that's Acts 1 and then, or Acts 8, sorry, and then verse 1. Listen to what Luke wrote here regarding these people. Saul and the persecution that was happening. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and on that day of the great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Verse 4 says, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. All right, so they were scattered. They went about preaching the word all because of the persecution that was occurring in Jerusalem. Chapter 11 of the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 19 to 21. Those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. There were some of them, men of Cyrus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. The hand of the Lord was on them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when they arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and of faith, and considered the numbers that were brought to the Lord. All right, so we've got this gospel. It's going forward in the midst of persecution and suffering. And so let's look at James. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1, listen to how James opens his letter. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. So these letters that are written were written to these people who obviously scattered out from their home. And I love the way that Peter opens that letter and he calls them aliens. Other translations use the word exiles, but simply this, they are homeless people without a passport or any sense of belonging anywhere. All right, so they are people that have been pushed out of their country due to persecution. And aren't we seeing that in the world today? People being pushed out of their locations because of war and because of suffering that's going on. No different than these people in 1 Peter verse 1. They are aliens in a foreign land because they can't be where they currently are. Now, if we continue to look at verse 1, we're going to come across some very interesting words. And two of the words that are going to come up are found in verses 1 and 2. A lot of debate over these things over the years. Well beyond my years, people have debated over these things. But we're going to look at them together. The first two words that we'll look at, and one of them is the word chosen. So let's look at it within the context. To those who reside as aliens throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. All right, so what is this principle of chosen? You know, if you have siblings, right? If you have maybe a brother or a sister, or maybe you've got more than one siblings. Have you ever had the argument with your parents and said they're the favorite one? They're the chosen one of all the three. And so what we've got here in this principle of chosen is we want to look at what the other scriptures say. All right, so chosen, we don't need Greek to help us understand it. It is picked. It is chosen or by choice taken. All right, so let's look at what Peter first says about it. All right, so when we're studying scripture and we're looking at these words and we want to better understand them, we first want to look at the context of that verse where it is, And then we want to see what does the rest of the letter tell us about that word before we go cross-referencing or looking at commentaries. So let's look at what chosen said, or what the word chosen is mentioned in 1 Peter. All right, it's mentioned twice in chapter 2. All right, so in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but his choice and precious in sight of God." All right, so that's the first mention that this living stone been rejected by men, Jesus rejected by men, but is the choice, was chosen by God. So Jesus was chosen by God, and look what he was chosen for in verse 6. "For this I contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious stone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." Again, back to the choice stone. He was chosen with a purpose, and we know what the purpose was. The purpose was for him to go to the cross and to die for our sins and be resurrected to life so that we could have eternal life if we believe in him. All right, so that's twice right there in chapter 2. It's also mentioned in verse 9. He says in verse 9 of chapter 2, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light." We are a chosen race, according to the text. And so that's pretty encouraging as well. That comes really in line with 1 Peter chapter 1 as well, that we are chosen by God. All right, let's go into some other passages and let's see what some other scriptures tell us about being chosen. All right, so we're going to go to Colossians, and in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. All right, so if you're following along in your Bible, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company. All right, so here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to what the text tells us. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, we are to do something. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." All right, so the chosen, according to here, what are they to do? Actually, in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, also supposed to do something, proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Here, called, put on, chosen, put on a heart of compassion. All right, let's go to Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 1. All right, in Ephesians chapter 1 also mentions the word chosen. It tells us here, it's starting in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven and places in Christ, just as he chose us in Jesus." Now, here's the part where we start to get some debate and we get some struggles and we have to put our thinking caps on here. He says, "He chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love." All right, so a couple things that we need to make note here. If we make simple lists, remember, we're just observing the text right now. Simple lists are, we're chosen when? Before the foundation of the world. What is the purpose? Peter tells us the purpose is that we are called to proclaim. We in Colossians, Paul tells us that we are chosen, so we need to put on compassion. Ephesians tells us that we were chosen before the foundation of the world, and the purpose for that choosing was to be holy and blameless. All right, let's go and look at John chapter 15. All right, so in John chapter 15, verse 16, listen to what this verse tells us, and as Jesus teaches in the Gospel of John. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." Now, look at what the purpose is of this choosing here. It is choosing and appointing for the purpose of bearing fruit. All right, so now, this is very encouraging. We're seeing throughout Scripture that this principle of choosing is intertwined right through the New Testament. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, we have another mention of the chosen, but it uses a different word. All right, and so in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, if you tuned into our Romans podcast that we did before Jude, you will remember these verses. "Who will bring a charge against God's elect, against God's chosen? God is the one who justifies." And so what does Paul say here? He says, no one can bring a charge against the elect. This is great encouragement. This would be great encouragement for the people in the time of Peter. This would be the great encouragement for the people receiving this in Rome. This is a great encouragement for you and I, because it tells us that who can bring a charge against God's chosen people? Why is this an encouragement? Well, if you're in the midst of suffering and people are bringing charges against you and judging you and blaming you and doing all kinds of things to stir people up against the Christians, he says, who can bring a charge against you? Because God has declared the chosen one as righteous. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. Who can judge you for how you are when God already made you righteous? All right, let's go through and let's look, continue in this principle. And this is very important for us, because one of the things that we can encounter with the principle of God choosing before the foundations of the world, all right, is the fact that some might say, well, why even evangelize if God has already chosen who will be in the family of God? Well, we can look to 2 Timothy. And this is where we're heading after the Peter podcasts. We're going to go through 1 and 2 Timothy. And I am so looking forward to going through these two letters, which will probably take us, I think, into 2025. Isn't that crazy that we're already thinking about 2025? All right, so let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory." So if you think about this, Paul, all that he endured, all that he went through in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to those in areas where the gospel had never preached before. Scourgings, beatings, shipwrecks, dangers, you know, lack of food and going hungry and all of these things. He says he's done this for the sake of the chosen ones, so that they would receive their eternal glory through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very fact that God has chosen you before the foundation of the world does not release us from the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is still by the gospel that we choose. And here's where things in the doctrine of election get very difficult for us to understand and wrap our minds around is that we still have a choice as well. Even though we have been chosen by God for the purpose of salvation, that we still have to make a choice ourselves. Listen to what Paul says in the book of Titus. And in Titus, and I've taught Titus 100 times, and for me to wrap this through, we have a Titus workshop. I've been all over the country teaching Titus, and just for me to look in the context of studying this week's episode in the word chosen, I never picked up on this before, and this is the beauty of studying the inductive method, and we never have all of the information all together. We are continuing to learn, and the Holy Spirit continues to unwrap these things for us, and that's why we can't stop studying the Word of God. We've got to be in it all the time, and listen to what Paul says in Titus chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God, and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness. I mean, how could I have not picked up on that before? The very fact that he calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, he is a messenger of the good news. He's a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is for the faith of those who are chosen. The purpose here is that Paul, he has no idea who the chosen ones are. But he knows what brings these people into faith, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he goes out and he shares the gospel, not knowing whether of the 25 people in the synagogue, which one is the chosen one. The gospel goes out so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, lives can be changed when that person experiences the power of the gospel in their lives. And they get on their knees and they repent of their sins and profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. So the very fact that chosen is used in the book of 1 Peter, it is used in Colossians, in Ephesians, in John, in Romans, in Timothy, in Titus, and more places than that, it does not release us from the responsibility of sharing the gospel. We still have to take the gospel out to the world. And if that's a truth that you have wrestled with a long time, let the scriptures speak for themselves. And if you don't think that the scriptures are saying enough for you to understand that, I promise you, grab one of these precept studies and continue to study through it. 1 Peter, looking at maybe the NISS or the PUP, grab them, discover these truths for yourselves so that you can see it. Think about it this way, all right? The very fact, and we need to stop, and we need to pause, and we need to apply for a moment, because you know what it tells us? It tells us that you and I, because we profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, because our lives have been transformed by the gospel, that God has chosen us, that God chose us for his purpose, and we get to see that purpose continue to be unveiled in verse 2. I mean, folks, that's just verse 1. How many times have you gone through one of these letters and you've just looked at those first 3 verses or first 2 verses and said, you know what? That's just an introduction. That's just the introduction to the letter. There's not a lot in there to unpack. No, there's a ton to unpack there, because the continuation of the thought, to those who reside as aliens scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Oh, I mean, does it get any better than this? I mean, the principle and idea of chosen and foreknowledge, they go together. But we need to define this foreknowledge first. This foreknowledge is that it's a knowledge that comes beforehand, right? Oh, yeah, I know that. That's a simple one. Of course, we know what that is. But this foreknowledge is more than just knowing about something beforehand within the context. It's more than God simply knowing what will take place in the future, but it includes God's relationship with man before creation. All right, let's look at some cross references right from 1 Peter. All right, and so we want to look at this, and let me give you this definition one more time before we move on. It's more than God simply knowing what will take place in the future, but it includes God's relationship with man before creation. You were chosen before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians. You were chosen before you were born. That's foreknowledge. During each episode, we want to take a few minutes and we want to talk about the great things that are happening at Precept Ministries here in Canada. You can head on to over to our website and you can find out about training workshops that are happening near you. We have workshops in both skills, how to learn the inductive method, and we have them in leadership and how to become a good small group leader using the inductive Bible study method. You can do that in person at a local church, or you can do it online. If you're brand new to Precept and you've never been there, but somebody shared this podcast with you and you are liking the way that we are going through the text, you can find Essentials of Inductive Bible Study happening on a regular basis online and in the local church. If you'd like us to come to your church and do training, you can send an email to training@preceptministries.ca and we would love to come and participate in a local workshop. There's no greater opportunity than to engage in the Word of God with others, learn these skills and tools to be able to observe, interpret, and apply in one of these training sessions. So check out the website for when it's coming to a location near you, or if you want to host, all that information is available online. I also want to share with you that we have the Problem with Evil conferences that are coming to local areas around the country. Our prayer is that we're going to be doing 5 of those throughout the year. And so you can participate in this conference and learn about why does God allow suffering? What a great topic for us to be looking at during the times that we are in right now. So go to the website, see this Problem with Evil conference is no charge. And it's a great opportunity to come together for a Friday night and a Saturday all day to learn the inductive method, to see what God's word says, to look at the example of Job and see how and why God allows these things to happen in our lives. Finally, if you've been impacted by this podcast, if you have been challenged by the word of God and you have shared it with others, I would encourage you to go over to our website and do 2 things. One, you can share your story with us. You can share your story about how the word of God is impacting you. You can send an email to info@preceptministries.ca, or there is a spot on our website where you can share your story as well. And finally, if you want this ministry to continue to impact other people around this country and folks around the world, click on the Give Today button on our website and you can give. And those funds are used not only to support this Unlocking the Truth podcast, but ministry around the country through Precept. And so thank you for those of you who are giving. Thank you for listening. Let's get back into 1 Peter. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he has appeared in the last times for the sake of you. Well, the question is who are we talking about in these verses? And in this verse, for he, that was Jesus, God foreknew Jesus before the foundation of the world, and he came at the proper time for our sake. All right, so Jesus was unveiled. Titus says that he was manifested at the proper time. All right, so let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. In this principle and idea of foreknowledge, knowing something ahead of time. Now, this one's very interesting. He says, you, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall away from your own steadfastness. Wait a second. Peter says that you and I can have foreknowledge. We can study the scriptures and see the warnings and see what's going to happen and come in the future and be prepared. So people can have foreknowledge. All right, let's look at the book of Acts. And let's see what the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2 says regarding the foreknowledge. All right, so Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Listen to what Peter says when he is talking about Jesus. For this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. What did God know? God's predetermined plan was to deliver Jesus over for the sake of us, so that he would die on the cross for our sins. All right, so Jesus was delivered over by the foreknowledge of God. All right, let's look at one more. And we're going to look at this principle again, foreknowledge, in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30. So Romans 8, 29 to 30. We all love Romans. We love those verses, but listen to what he says here. He says, let's start at verse 28. Why not? And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many believers. And these whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. Woo! Wow! This is absolutely amazing. Let's go back and we write our list on foreknowledge now. All right, so we put our information together. Okay, so he foreknew us. He predestined us for what purpose? To be conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn with many believers. What else did he do according to this foreknowledge and predetermined plan? Okay, he called us. Those whom he called, he justified, and he will glorify. So, according to God's great plan, according to the book of 1 Peter, what is Peter telling us? He chose you according to the foreknowledge of God. Here, we can battle through this. You know, we can spend all of our time in debate about, no. I chose God. God didn't choose me. You know, we can go through all of these different views of these different men and theologians of past. And we can say, well, no, I can't wrap my head around God choosing me for the purpose of salvation before the foundations of the world. No, I much better sit in the camp where I chose God. I made the predetermined plan. Well, you know what? There is a part and parcel to all of this, and we're going to unpack that a little bit more. But here's one quote that I found this week that I want you to remember and wrap your minds around when it comes to this purpose of chosen and foreknowledge. Listen to what this scholar said. No believer should ever feel threatened by the doctrine of election, because it's always presented in Scripture as the ground of comfort and encouragement. Can you hear what that says? Listen to this for a moment. No believer should ever feel threatened by the doctrine of election. It's always presented in Scripture as the ground of comfort and encouragement. Remember, folks, as we study the Word of God, context is king. Remember that believers were being lit on fire alive because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. But these people were being pushed out of their homeland. They were exiles and aliens with no home, no passport. They were all away from what they knew. They were in the midst of the greatest suffering in the world. And think about your life and where you are. Maybe you are facing suffering in the midst of the days that we are in right now. You need to take this as an encouragement, not as something that I need to fully wrap my head around. Otherwise, I can't move through my Christianity. This is comfort. This is encouragement from Peter. You are chosen by God, by the foreknowledge and predetermined plan that he set before us. For what purpose? For salvation. You are where you are today because God has put you there. Can you see how this would be a great encouragement as Peter opens this letter? It is so encouraging for the believer to know that God chose you. When? Before you were even born. For what purpose? For the purpose of salvation. Let's keep working our way through these next points. Because if you're not fired up yet, we'll get you there, folks. We'll get you there. Listen to what he continues to say in verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. You know what? That's just an introduction. Let's move on. The real meat is in verse 3. No way. No way. Peter gives us the plan for salvation right in verse 2. The plan for salvation is right there. We are chosen by the Father. We are sanctified. We are set apart. That's what sanctification means. It means to be set apart through faith by the Holy Spirit. And we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. This is the gospel right here in verse 2. Listen, let me summarize all of this for you, and then we'll break verse 2 down a little bit more. We're chosen by the Father. By faith, we are set apart by the Holy Spirit. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ. When God chose you before the foundation of the world, the Son saved you when he died for you, but it took your surrendering to the Spirit to seal this transaction. I want to give that to you again because I want that to sink into your heart. Don't let it just be my knowledge. Sink it in. You are chosen by the Father. By faith, you are set apart by the Holy Spirit. He's the down payment on something greater that is to come. You are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God chose you before the foundation of the world. The Son saved you when he died for you. But your role was to surrender to the Spirit. And that sealed the transaction. When you heard the gospel and you realized that you were in desperate need of a Savior because you were destined for wrath, the call is to surrender. And that brings it all together. That's what Peter's telling us here in verse 2. But we want to break this down a little bit further. We want to look closer, and we're going to look at each of these things. We've already looked at chosen and foreknowledge, but we want to look at this principle of sanctifying work of the Spirit. There are a couple views when it comes to sanctifying work of the Spirit. And of course, we're unlocking the truth. We're going to look at both views. One view is this. Some might say that the sanctifying work of the Spirit is just pointing to the conversion, that the elect or the chosen by God, they were set apart for salvation at that point of conversion. That's the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The second view is a different view. It's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that starts at conversion and is a gradual process in the believer's life. You might be thinking to yourself, well, could it be both? I don't even really know the difference between the two. Well, if you've got that going on and you're thinking that to yourself, this is how you should answer it. What does the rest of Scripture say about the sanctifying work of the Spirit? Maybe God's Word, as its own best commentary, can tell us what the Scriptures say. All right, well, I've got some verses for you. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. All right, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, listen to what Paul says. Remember the focus, sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. All right, it tells us here, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you. Wait a minute. Did you find another verse on the word chosen? Yes, we did. But God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and faith and in truth. Oh, Peter's out in left field teaching about this chosen and foreknowledge. No, Paul. Paul's teaching the same thing. You are chosen for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. You are set apart and you are sanctified. All right, so let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. All right, and in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 to 14, listen to what the author of Hebrews says here. Hebrews 10, 9 to 14. Behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Do you hear it? Do you hear that happening right there? Do you hear what it says? You have been sanctified. All right, by what? By the offering of the body of Jesus. All right, so let's continue through. Let's get through the rest of those verses. All right, so verse 10 again. Verse 10. By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering, time after time, the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are set apart, who are sanctified. So what does the text tell us here? That it was Jesus through his body that set us apart. All right, so let's continue. We got one more verse that we want to look at on this principle of sanctifying by the Spirit. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Listen to what Paul says here. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Wow, if we were to list out what we learn about sanctified by the Spirit here, we see God, it was his work through Jesus. He became our wisdom, our right standing before God, our setting apart, and redemption, forgiveness of sins. So what does it mean here to be sanctified by the Spirit? I think it means the very fact that it's both. One, we are sanctified, we are set apart we were set apart at that time when we surrendered by the Spirit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were set apart unto Jesus. He's now the ruler of our life, but we're continuing to be sanctified, as in conformed to the image of Jesus, until eternity, when he comes back and he gathers us to be with him. The call is for us to be more and more like Jesus each and every day. So you could combine view one, view two, and make it just view three, which is, it is both set apart through the gospel, sanctified to become more like Jesus. That's what the text tells me anyway, right? We're just looking at what the scriptures say. All right, let's look at the next one. All right, so now we've got, as a part of this, all right, maybe this next one backs up what we're talking about. All right, let's look at the next part. It says, you're by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, you are set apart by the work of the Spirit to do what? To obey Jesus Christ. All right, there's not a whole lot of unwrapping that we need to do there, right? Because we have given our life over to Jesus Christ, because we are set apart for him, because we are holy and blameless, as the scripture tells us, or working towards holy and blameless. But in the eyes of God, we are considered right, and we are considered justified, as Paul tells us in Romans, when we believe. The very fact is, now we are called to obey Jesus. Let me take you back to the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, listen to what Paul says regarding this obedience. So Romans chapter 1, verse 5, it says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Isn't that cool that Paul set apart as an apostle for the gospel? He declares the Son of God with power in verse 4. And it is for those who received, the hopes that bringing the gospel will bring about obedience of faith. Proclaim the gospel to bring about obedience. Let's look at one more reference to this. To obey Christ is Acts chapter 6, verse 7. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it comes a little bit differently than what Peter says, but same principle. Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says this, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continue to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. They were coming into salvation. They were getting saved. And so the simple truth that we need to wrap our minds around when it comes to 1 Peter is this. True salvation produces obedience to Jesus. Do you see how they come together then in 1 Peter chapter 1? You were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the setting apart or the sanctifying work of the Spirit for the purpose of obedience. True salvation brings about obedience. That's how you know you are a true Christian, is if you are obedient to the Word of God. All right? Doesn't say perfect. Remember, we're being sanctified. We're continuing to be formed into Jesus' image, but we must obey if we call ourselves believers. All right, let's look at the next one. And folks, we're only in verse 2. I hope you have a ton of time this week. Hopefully we'll wrap up very soon. All right, let's look at the next one. It is that you would be sprinkled with his blood. I want to take you back to the book of Exodus and take you to the principles that were occurring when Moses read from the tablets. All right, so look at Exodus chapter 24, verses 4-8. And listen to what is recorded here. It says, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He arose early in the morning, built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as a peace offering to the Lord. Moses took half the blood, put it in basins, and the other half of the blood, and sprinkled it on the altar. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Are you picking up what the book of Exodus is laying down right now? In Exodus, the people were sprinkled with blood to make a covenant of obedience. That sprinkling of the blood was the sealing of the covenant for them. By putting that over them, they agreed to be obedient to the Ten Commandments. In 1 Peter, he tells us that we are sanctified by the work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. Well, Peter continues this thought, and he talks about this sprinkling of the blood in verses 18 and 19. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and the spot and spotless. You were redeemed by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Jesus. Let's go look at the back into the book of Hebrews and listen to what the author of Hebrews tells us again. And he tells us here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Hebrews 12, verse 24. Here's what he says. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which he speaks better than the blood of Abel. The mediator, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. All right, let's look at one more. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says this, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Christ's blood washed away the sins. Believers are sprinkled with the blood. This indicates that through the blood of Jesus Christ, entering into a new covenant, the new covenant is sealed by the sprinkled blood of Jesus. I mean, this is just absolutely amazing. Folks, we have spent the majority of this podcast just covering the last part of verse 1, the entire verse 2, but we still have two other verses that we want to look at. But just wrap your minds around this, that you were chosen by the foreknowledge of God, that you were set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit for the purpose to obey Christ, and you were sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Your sins were washed away. The covenant was sealed. You are Christ's. You are a believer, true salvation that brings about obedience. These things are all great encouragement for those in the midst of suffering. Listen to what he says in verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The principle here, looking, we listed out, caused us to be born again by the resurrection of Jesus. It produces a living hope, a confident expectation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that the unbeliever, the unsaved person, is without hope. I want to take you to 1 Timothy again. And again, I cannot wait to dig into 1 Timothy when we get into the podcast coming soon, once we're done 1 Peter. But listen to what he says in 1 Timothy regarding this living hope that comes. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Christ is our hope. He's a living hope. It's us looking for his return. This is great excitement. You see, we don't have to work for this hope. We have this hope, according to Peter, because we are born again. Look at the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5 says this. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." We have this hope. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't will it. We have it because we are born again. We have been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. We have been set apart by the work of the Spirit. It's absolutely amazing that we can have this hope. Even in the midst of suffering, we have this living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Folks, let me ask you before we move to the next part, are you getting fired up yet? Is there anything happening within your heart and mind that says, these truths are absolutely amazing and I cannot forget them? I hope so. I hope it's not me, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life right now, telling you this and encouraging you in these things. But there's one more thing I want to show you. This living hope is not just this living hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but this hope is a lasting hope. Listen to what he describes here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here it is, the lasting hope in verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, and is reserved for you in heaven. When you write a list in Scripture, you can just write a 1, 2, 3, and 4 right above those words, right in the text. Here's what Peter tells you about this inheritance: imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. It's reserved for you. Oh, man. I mean, if the previous truths didn't get you fired up, these will get you fired up. Why do you have this living and lasting hope? Because what is waiting for you, this inheritance that is to come, it's not going to die. It can't be defiled. It's not going anywhere. And it's reserved for you. Why is it reserved for you? Because God chose you. God chose you for salvation because you are born again, because you are set apart by the Spirit, because you are obedient to Jesus, because you have been sprinkled with the blood. You have a living hope and a lasting hope because what is waiting for you in the future is far greater than anything this world has to offer. Now wrap that back into the context of 1 Peter. Christians without a home, scattered throughout the world. Persecution, being burned. People thinking, am I going to be the next one that's going to have to face this? Well, would it matter what happens in the world if you kept your eyes on the living and lasting hope for what is to come that God chose you, that God set you apart, that you are to be obedient, that you have been sprinkled clean with the blood of Jesus, that God has a place for you. Your inheritance is waiting for you for when you get there. Oh man, that is absolutely the most amazing truth. But hey, just an introduction. Just an introduction to the letter. Look at verse 5. Verse 4 again, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Think about the suffering, the persecution that these Christians were facing. This great letter of encouragement that Peter says, he says, you believer, you are protected by God by faith. God is going to protect you. You are going to get that inheritance that's reserved for you. Why? Because you're born again. He's protected you through faith. You were saved by the blood of Christ. When you surrendered to the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was working in you, when you knew you needed a Savior, you were saved from the wrath of God to come, but you still had to live in this world. And folks, you will be saved again. It tells us. For salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus, he's coming back. This is divine protection from God until the final salvation comes for all believers. But folks, I want to make this really clear before we wrap up. These first five verses are for those who have surrendered their life to Jesus. These first five verses do not apply to those of the world. There is no salvation for those who have yet to profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You need Jesus. And there's an opportunity. I know who would be listening to this podcast that's not a believer. There might be somebody. God might use this podcast in some way to make an impact in someone who has yet to surrender their life to Jesus. Or maybe you surrender your life to Jesus just in words, but never in action. Maybe the salvation that you've experienced has not brought about true obedience and bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. This is your time. This is your opportunity to get on your hands and knees and thank God that he sent his son Jesus. That he sent his son to die for you. Just like Paul, when he says he preached the gospel for the chosen ones so that they would come to faith, we too do the same. Jesus is right here, easily accessible. All you have to do is surrender your life to him. Be set apart. Live for him. Study the word of God and learn what it means to be sanctified and conformed into the image of Jesus, to be more and more like him, to produce fruit for the gospel of Jesus and for the kingdom of God. Because what is to come is way better than anything this world ever has to offer. And yes, as we go through suffering and difficulties today, we need to remember this. We are protected by God. It may not feel like it sometimes. We may feel so isolated. Where is God in all of this? He's right there. He's protecting you. He has an inheritance reserved for you. It's not going to die. It's not going to get defiled. It's not going to fade away. The believer is saved. He's being saved daily through sanctification, and he'll be completely saved when Christ returns. Folks, strive to be like Jesus. Study the Word of God for yourself. Join me in working through the rest of 1 Peter, but not just listening. Engage in the Scriptures for yourself. My prayer is that the Word of God would transform your life and that you would become more like Christ and go and make an impact with the gospel in our country. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these truths. Amazing truths. Father, to know that you chose us for the purpose of salvation, that you set us apart by the work of your Spirit, that you cause us to be obedient, that we have been sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus, that you protect us, that you have this inheritance reserved for us that's undefiled, that will not fade away, and that it's imperishable. Lord, what an amazing hope, this living hope and this lasting hope that we have before us. May we use these verses as truth for us today. Help us to remember them, to continue to be encouraged them by them in the midst of our suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this series of Unlocking the Truth with Precept Ministries Canada. Visit our website, preceptministries.ca, to find workshops and studies both in person and online that will further your journey in His Word and give you the tools to know God deeply and live differently.